Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino. I have a very special episode of the show today. We have Rachel Lindsay, who many of you might remember from The Bachelorette. She's also a huge Bravo fan, so it's really like a Bravo State of the Union because we left no stone unturned. Is that a saying? We mention it all, as it were. We talk Housewives. We talk Shaws of Sunset reunion. It was so much fun to chat with her. Also, I know a lot of you are Bachelor Nation fans. So I also covered a little bit of Bachelor Nation. I called in reinforcements of people who know that world a little bit better than I do. And she dropped some bombshells, so you do not want to miss it. If you want to view our chat, we did it over on Zoom, so you can view it at the new YouTube channel, youtube.com/Danny Pellegrino and the number one. I was going to include this interview on our recap later this week, but it was just, we had so much fun talking. We were laughing so much, and we talked much longer than I had planned. So I wanted to make sure it was its own separate episode. So I really hope you guys enjoy listening as much as I enjoyed talking to Rachel Lindsay. Check out her podcast. It's called Higher Learning with Van Lathan. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino, Twitter and Instagram. If you want any of the Everything Iconic merch, you can go to everythingiconic.store. And if you want to support Everything Iconic, I'm sorry to keep doing this. We got to promote the show. You just go to patreon.com/everythingiconic and you get access to the bonus episodes. If you donate $4 or more per month, I do one bonus episode over there. And I just did a recap of the very first episode of Sex and the City. So with all of that said, please enjoy my chat. I will leave you with this, with the beautiful, the stunning, the talented, the wonderful Rachel Lindsay. Please enjoy. Bye-bye. Rachel, first of all, how are you doing today?
Danny, I'm on cloud nine. You have no idea. I'm like, no, I'm with the one and only Danny Pellegrino.
You're so sweet. Well, I was so excited you reached out to me and said you listened to the podcast because your season of The Bachelorette, I think, was like, I watched that and I watched the Jake Pavelka, which was dating me a little bit. Like, that was a long time ago.
But it was good.
It was good. I was like so attracted to him for like a very brief moment in time. And then he went on to that show where he opened a restaurant in LA. It was like a crazy with
I don't know this one.
It was with Danielle Staub and
No, not Danielle.
Yes, Danielle and Heidi Montag from The Hills. It was like they all opened up a restaurant here on Sunset. And my friend Ira and Amy and Scott and I, we like went to the restaurant and it was terrible, but it did open.
The show sounds terrible too. It's like a free for all. Let's just throw them all in there and see what happens.
Right. I mean, reality TV, it's like some of the shows are wilder than others. Yeah. But so you're a Bravo fan, correct?
I'm a huge Bravo fan.
Okay. So back me up here. Tell me what your favorite franchise is, your favorite housewife, all of it.
Favorite franchise is New York, period. It used to be Atlanta, but they've just, I don't know, it's just flatlining a little bit. New York, they bring it every single time. I feel like I've met a lot of the New York housewives, and I have to say they're exactly the same in person. They did not disappoint. They brought the same energy. So definitely that's the franchise. Favorite housewife, it might be Dorinda. Yeah. Although I'm loving Garcelle in Beverly Hills.
Right. I want to ask you about
Karen Huger. I don't know.
Oh my God. Rachel, Karen Huger is like, I was just thinking yesterday, I was telling a friend, I think she's sort of, Ramona was my favorite for a while, like as a housewife, not as a human. But Ramona was my favorite. And I think now Karen Huger, I saw the premiere of the new season and it's just like, she's everything.
She does not disappoint. Wait, can I tell you a Ramona story?
Please.
I ran into Ramona. It had to have been Fashion Week a couple of years ago. And she didn't really know who I was. And someone was like, oh, she's the Bachelorette. And she like drunkenly parted the Red Sea, came over to me. And she was like, I should be the Bachelorette. I should be the new bachelorette. Take my number. Give her my number so she can talk to me so I can be the bachelorette. And then she like texted the wrong person about like, I'm at the bachelorette. And I think I'm going to be on the show. It was the weirdest interaction ever. But again, did not disappoint.
Right. And that sounds exactly like something that would happen with one of these women. But like, in what world does Ramona think that she could be the bachelorette?
It's Ramona world.
Right. Right. I know she used to be my favorite, but so let's dive into New York. What are you thinking about this season? What do you like about this season? What do you think needs to change? I'm getting all of your thoughts on all of these. So okay. Sit back.
I love Leah. Leah has been the perfect addition. I haven't seen a good addition to a franchise like that since Dorinda. When Dorinda came in, I thought, oh my gosh, this is effortless. And I feel like I could be friends with Leah in real life.
Right.
I don't know if I say that about most of the housewives. I'm enjoying it. It's a drunken mess, but it's still so good. It's what I can't turn away from watching. I can't really follow the stories in it.
There's no story.
Every single time they get together. But I love it.
Right.
I love it.
I agree. I think this is their worst season, but still, I still look forward to watching it the most, like more than anything on TV. It's like when I sit down, I realize that, yes, it's a drunken mess. There's no storyline, but it's still so much fun. And Dorinda, I know Dorinda's having like a terrible season. Like she's coming across as very aggressive and angry, but I think that we could turn that around. I feel like housewives, they dip and then they have peaks and valleys.
Right.
And so I'm not convinced. I know there are people online who are like, we need to get rid of Dorinda. She's become too mean. But I think she's still got some good years left in her on the show. I just think she's having a really bad season.
Yeah, just give her a moment. Give her a couple of episodes. But that's why I like what I like about New York is that it's always on a high. Even though you're calling this the worst season, it's still good. As opposed to the other ones that are out there not giving it to me. Like I'm from Dallas and I'm disappointed.
Right. Me too. And they're filming around town right now, aren't they, the new season?
I don't know. They did ask me to come and interview. But I live in Miami now. Because my husband's from here. But I was like, no, I only want to watch. I don't want to be a part of it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it would ruin the whole thing for me. Plus, I have too much attitude. I personally think I would be a great housewife. But no, I can't.
Did you know any of the Dallas women?
Carrie. Okay. Old Carrie, not new Carrie.
Okay. Yeah, I like Carrie Duber, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Carrie Duber.
I like her a lot. I've been to dinner with her and Mark, like with double date with my husband. I love them.
They
Mark's
came in
great off camera.
Yeah, they were really, I met them for the first time. They came and did my live show in Dallas, like right before sort of the pandemic lockdown and everything happened. And they were both so sweet, so funny. And I got to chat with them backstage and I was like, oh, I really like them a lot. And I miss Carrie on the show. I think it fell apart when she left.
I don't know why they got rid of her.
Yeah. You know, a lot of these housewives, it's like we need sort of those stable ones or like, you know what I'm saying? Like the quieter or the ones that are friends with everyone.
Yeah.
But so you would never join a housewife franchise?
I'd never say never, but no. Yeah. No. I enjoy watching it too much. No. It's so fun when you're a fan and you come on. You know, like then I would know too much coming in.
Right. I know I've interviewed so many of them that it is a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, like seeing them in person and seeing like how they are. But I've come to find like what you said about the New York women, most of them are exactly like I would imagine or that they are on screen.
Sonia wanted to come perform at my bachelorette party and do a burlesque show. And I was really going to invite her, but she really wanted me to pay a lot. And I was like, I can't.
What was she charging?
Instructor instead.
Right. What was she charging? Can you tell me?
I can't remember. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I can't remember, but she wanted us to fly her out there. It was in Costa Rica, the whole thing. And I was like, no.
I felt bad for Sonia lately about the cabaret-esque stuff because I do really feel like she started that and then Luann just kind of took over and I feel like she should be touring.
I 100% agree. She should definitely be getting more than, what is it, $250, $220? I mean, come on. I thought Luann was better coming into this season. And then I realized she's still the same person. I don't know. I thought she had humbled herself a bit. And now she's like filling herself way too much.
Right. We got a glimpse of the old Luann in the Berkshires, and then she hasn't gone back. I'm loving New York. They're filming the reunion in person. It was just announced via Page Six. Yeah. And I sort of have mixed feelings about it. Like, I of course want everyone to be safe and everything, but I am very excited that we're getting an in-person thing because I've been sort of exhausted by the Zoom reunions on these shows.
Zoom or a lot. What did we have? We had Atlanta.
They did like a summer house one. I don't know if you watch any of those shows.
But Shaw's.
Do you watch Shaw's?
I do watch Shaw's.
What did you? This season was rough though, right?
It was the same storyline. It's like the MJ, right. And I hate to see MJ and Reza fighting just because they've been friends for so many years. Happy for Gigi.
Right.
I miss old explosive Gigi, but she's in a better place. So I have to say she's in a better place.
She's in a very stone place too. That whole reunion, she was just high as a kite. That was the only bright spot.
Don't you feel like they need new characters though at this point? Yeah.
Shaz needs to refresh a little bit. And I feel like every season there's like Reza is in a huge fight with somebody else. And the MJ fight was just too bleak for me. Like, I just felt like the things that he said, and both sides, I thought were just like way too disturbing. It wasn't even fun drama. It was just like, and that reunion, the last part of the reunion, I was like, I almost turned it off, but I didn't.
Of course not. Yeah.
No. But yeah, and I miss Asa was sort of that stable force in Shaz. Like, she was kind of like the stable one.
Replace her with... what's his name? See, I can't even remember his name. Nima. Oh, Nima. I've never seen somebody try so hard on TV. I can't stand it.
I know. Do you notice that a lot? Like, I mean, coming from the world of The Bachelor, I feel like there's probably tons of people on The Bachelor franchise that come on just for... I actually know a girl who's been trying to get on. And I think she's either getting close or got close. I haven't talked to her in a little while about it.
She tried.
She like really wants it just to increase her Instagram following, which I feel like is always what happens with the show, right?
It's a lot of people. I mean, I guess I was a little different coming on. For me, I just needed an escape, honestly. I had come out of a bad breakup, hit a wall in my career, and I was like, why not? Coworkers have signed me up. Sure, let's do this.
Right.
But most of the people who come on nowadays are looking for a second career.
And, you know, I was looking at a lot of people from The Bachelor. They call it Bachelor Nation, right? I sound so stupid.
Bachelor Nation. Okay. No, it's a real thing.
Right. But I was looking at some people online and you really can make a living after going on that show and just being a contestant because Instagram sponsorships, you can make a lot of money off of.
Oh, yeah. You get top 10. You have a solid 6 months. And if you get to go to Paradise too, then you have a year. And then people turn it into something else or they create products. And it really, I mean, that's why it's changed the dynamic of the show because people come on, you know what we say, for the wrong reasons.
Right. Did you watch in the early seasons?
No. I didn't watch. I had been to watch parties for like the company and the drinks, but I never paid attention to who was on the screen. I wasn't my family didn't watch it. My friends didn't watch the show. We all watched Bravo. Yeah, so it was, you got to pick your poison.
Okay. We're getting back to Bravo. So I got to talk about Beverly Hills. You're watching Beverly Hills. Do you believe Brandy? Do you believe Denise? Where do you stand on that?
Oh, this is a tough one. You know, the lawyer in me is like the truth lies somewhere in between. But I think I believe Brandy. That's hard to say because Brandy is always looking for her moment on TV. It seems very put together. But Brandy's also a person who has nothing to lose. So I feel like she doesn't lie. She just says the wrong thing. She just says what she shouldn't say. But it's not a lie.
Right. I agree. I think that I do think that it's all very calculated on everyone's part. I think the sit down with Kyle and Teddy and all of that, like, I think it is orchestrated a lot. But I don't know that I don't believe it. I think it happened. But what's interesting about Denise is I find that fans seem to really be completely on Denise's side because she is so sort of lovable in a weird way.
Even this season? It's weird to me this season.
Yeah. The Aaron stuff. I think the Aaron.
That's not what you call him. That is not
Dick
what
Aaron.
You call him. Big Dick Aaron. Let's Big call Dick it what Aaron. It is.
Big Dick Aaron came out of this season guns blazing on camera. It was like, what is going on with that human being? Like, I don't understand his brain. And I think I was saying on the show, it's like, I think I'm a good judge of character. And he's one of the few people I've seen on TV that it's like, I can't make sense of what's happening up there. Like, it doesn't read to me.
Well, it doesn't make sense. And he was a mute last season. And now he comes in saying all kinds of things. And it's just like, whoa. And even Denise is like trying to silence him. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird dynamic. I'm not team Denise this season. I've gone against her a bit because I'm not understanding what's happening with that whole storyline. But there's something that I think it's easy to be on her side, which is why I think the fans are, because Brandy is just like not likable. Not at all.
She's a loose cannon too. We've just seen so much of her just shouting things, but I think she makes great TV. Like it's fun TV to watch. You know, they shared an agent. I actually went to high school with their shared agent. They no longer share an agent, Denise and Brandy. But so I think there's a lot to it, a lot more. I think there's a lot more to it. I'm curious to keep watching to see what we will find out.
There's more. Like last season, we dealt with one storyline. Please don't let that happen to us again.
No, that's annoying with Beverly Hills though, right? It's like, why don't, if some of these other people need to step up and have some things going on because it's exactly. Like we can't just focus on. And then I do believe that a lot of people say this online too, is like, I do believe that the other women latch on to one storyline so that they don't have to like dive into their finances or their lawsuits or whatever it is. And that's frustrating to me because on something like New York, we wouldn't have that.
Absolutely. And there's a story to be told there. PK, Dorit, PK. Did PK have
Rachel, you know that everyone has a story.
Everyone has a story.
Sorry, what were you going to say about PK?
No. I was just going to talk about PK's look, PK's new look. But I can't.
People, I've gotten so many DMs on Instagram of people sending me like the picture that PK and Dorit posted. I'm not sure which one of it, but at least 10 different people have said like, is PK getting hot now? And I'm like, okay, we all need to log off Instagram. That's what we're thinking.
That's 2020 talking. That is not okay.
It's the COVID-19. No, he's not hot. It's like, I've been shocked every time I read it. You said you like Garcelle. So what do you like about Garcelle? I'm loving her too.
I like Garcelle because she doesn't play by the rules that the same other women play. And maybe because I've met her and I've been around her a couple of times prior to this. So I was shocked when she said she was going to do it, but I was like, this is what they need. And not just for the diversity and the pop of color. Yes, we need that as well. But she's like, I got to work. I'm not here to play games. I'm not available. She cuts right to the chase. I mean, when she was like, how do you make your money?
We've all been wondering that.
I heard when you did the bit on that and I'm like, no, it's absolutely true. And how do you make your money? And you make your money.
Right. Yeah. Tell us if you're going on these shows, I want to know the bank accounts. I want to know the finances. Give me the records, the tax returns, all of it. Yeah. I want that. I just want more of Garcelle, but I do appreciate, like you said, like how badass is it to just come on and be like, look, I'm already got another gig. Like I won't be at the shooting. And like, she's still a main housewife and no one can say anything.
Right. I do wish we had more of like her personal world though. You know, she is busy, but we don't really know what's going on. Okay. We've met this new man. Now let's see them on a date. Like what's going on? Take us inside a bit. That's the only thing I hate. That's how I would be if I was a housewife.
I wouldn't either. I would feel the same way. Yeah. I always say like, I would want to come in sort of how Bethany did towards the end where she would just like come and comment on like the crazy women and she would be at the parties, but we didn't really see like her personal life at the end.
Right.
And I feel like that's the spot to be in, but I'm hopeful and excited about Garcelle's second season. I feel like that's when we'll really get like a good, an even better version of Garcelle.
Oh, is she coming back?
I mean, I'm sure she will. People, fans like her. I'm sure she'll come back.
And they need that Sutton can go.
Oh, see, I like Sutton. No, Rachel, I disagree. I like Sutton. She's like crazy. She reminds me of like old school Beverly Hills housewife. Like,
I will give you that. She was good like the first couple of episodes, but died down. She's not giving it to me the same way that she was anymore. So now I'm like, I'm over her. Can we have somebody new?
I get that. Hey, you know, we turn on these people on a dime. I think Absolutely. like... in 5 minutes, I might not like Sutton. You know, I don't even have to be watching her, but in 5 minutes, I might disagree. Like, it changes.
Well, we get bored. And then we're like, you need to step it up because other people are doing it a lot better than you are. It's, they do the same thing to us on The Bachelor. You know, right. They love you. They hate you. They love you.
Speaking of boring, what do you think of Teddy on the show? That was a little shady. I just had to. I'm sorry.
You just tossed it up there for me. You want me to knock it out the park? She is boring. Like, I mean, let's just call it space.
She does.
I met her and she's so nice. She's right. So nice, but she's boring.
Yeah.
And all she does is cry. And it just, I'm shocked she's hung on this long.
Right. She does seem to like be a good pot stirrer in a way, not in the same obvious way that Rinna is. But she's done the show a couple times too. And I found her lovely and someone I would want to be friends with in real life. It's just on the show. I don't know. I'm not really getting that spark.
It doesn't translate to TV though. You know, like not everybody's good TV. Right. She played her role well with the dog and Lisa Vanderpump. And now you're done. That was it. That was her shining moment.
And I've been so upset. You know, I've said this on the show, Rachel. I can't believe that her dad was engaged to Meg Ryan and we didn't even get not even a phone call with Meg on the speakerphone. I mean, come on.
This rubs me. This hits home even more. I just got back in town from LA and I watched When Harry Met Sally. And yes, so I feel you. I'm like, why can't we get some Meg Ryan? Play your part, Teddy. That's why you got on the show, because of your last name. Let's just be honest.
How good is When Harry Met Sally, though? Isn't it just the best?
So yeah. Good.
It's just one of those
you just keep rewatching.
Okay, wait, let me look at my questions for you. Oh, are you gonna, so you're in Miami now. So yeah. I was gonna say, if you're in LA, like, would you go to Dorit's Buca di Beppo room?
Is that really happening?
It already happened. Yeah.
let's just pause on that for a second. So she's creating a room. She's designing a room. Will we have
one room?
One room, not plural.
Not the whole Buca di Beppo, just the one room.
I'll be in LA more permanently in September. Oh. I'm definitely going.
We're going. Let's go.
We're going. Yeah.
Yeah. So, my friend called to see if they're open throughout the pandemic. I guess you could get takeout.
The room.
He like called and was like, hey, can we make reservations? They're like, the indoor restaurant's not open, but you can get takeout. He was like, no, we just want to sit in the Dorit's room.
See, the fact that that's a storyline, that's disappointing on Beverly Hills. We're talking about her designing a room.
I love it. I love how ridiculous it is. Like, I agree with you 100%. But it like makes me love. I just fell in love with Dorit this season. And I never felt that way before. So it's all, everything about her feels like brand new to me.
Oh my God, we're so opposite this season. I love Dorit up until this point. Now she's boring me.
I'm just seeing the light for the first time. And I'm liking that. I'm going towards the light. Rachel, you mentioned Garcelle and the diversity issue. And I have to ask, and I think I mentioned this on the podcast too, I sort of felt frustrated for you because after George Floyd passed and or was killed, the entertainment industry really had this push for diversity. And it felt like you were expected to speak on behalf of the whole world of The Bachelor simply because they hadn't ever made an effort for diversity.
Right.
And that seemed to me like a lot of pressure for anyone and exhausting. And I don't know, do you have any thoughts? Like, were you frustrated by that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason I didn't watch the show before I was on it, because the show isn't for me and it didn't tell my type of story. It doesn't resonate with people that look like me. So I knew what I was getting into and I was hoping I could change it. From the moment that I've been on the show, I've been extremely vocal and critical of the franchise. I've been calling them out. But now with the movement, our voices are being amplified and there's this whole force behind it. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired. After hearing Hannah Brown, not your Hannah Brown, but after hearing Hannah Brown say the N-word and then with what was happening, I was like, you know what? I'm a part of a franchise that is on the wrong side of this. I don't want to be a part of it unless you guys make some changes. And I felt it was my duty to kind of do that. And I'm so used to other people in Bachelor Nation not speaking up because they don't want to ruffle any feathers. They want to play the game. But it was nice to see that after I actually said that, other people started to step up and say something. Yeah, I'll take that than ever. I'll take it.
Well, I want to ask too, have you always been someone that speaks out? Because on your podcast, To Higher Learning, which you co-host with Van, you speak out a lot of, about a lot of issues. And I wondered, that's not typical of people in general, just like the human race. People aren't always so comfortable speaking out. And I just wonder, were you like in high school or when you were younger, were you always someone who was confident speaking out?
Yeah, I guess I never remember not speaking. I was in speech competitions as a kid. I always knew I wanted to practice law. My dad was a lawyer. My dad was a trailblazer in his own right, being the first Black city attorney and then a federal judge in the district that he's in. So that was kind of the example that was set for me. Plus, I'm a middle child. So, you know, you can put a period behind that. I've just always just been trying to get and seek attention. But yeah, I was a litigator. So I was in the courtroom. So I'm used to speaking out, and having the podcast Higher Learning has been very freeing, because those are topics that I don't get to talk about in Bachelor Nation that I'm very passionate about. You know, I have a Bachelor podcast. I love to talk Bravo, but then there are other things that interest me too. And it's therapeutic for me. It's therapy. A lot of times I have therapy and then I go do Higher Learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get it all out. I know. I mean, on Everything Iconic, I'm so often talking about Bravo stuff. And I feel similarly in the fact that, like, I love when I get to talk about mental health or about literally anything else. Although I love Bravo, but, you know.
Danny, I love that you let people in and you tell people your stories. So I think that's why I fall. Like, I knew who you were because I've listened to Bitch Sesh. But in quarantine, I've literally gone back and listened to episodes from a year ago. Like, Brian's like, you. Is that Danny? And I'm like, shut up. Leave us alone.
I was digging.
Did you tell stories of who you are and what you've been through? Like, I'm still dying over the Michael Bolton ASL. I think it's the funniest thing I've heard.
I can still do it. You know, we're on Zoom right now. Wait, people always ask me to do it. I can't do it with the microphone in my hand, but it's how can we be... it's okay. I'm not going to do it fully, but people always ask me to do that. I still remember a little bit of the sign language of that. Well, thank you so much. And I got to say, you mentioned Brian, your husband, and I was deep diving on you, and he's so attractive. He's very hot. I don't even have a question about that. I just had to say that. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Because I'm not like super versed in Bachelor Nation, I did reach out to some people. I reached out to Lauren Zima. Do you know Lauren?
Lauren's great.
She's a friend of the show, and you know, she's an expert on this. So she did send me some questions she thought would be good.
Oh, I'm afraid of Lauren questions.
They might be tough. Okay, so the first one is, you and Colton Underwood had beef.
She's so freaking messy. I'm going to get you, Lauren. I know you're listening to this.
I actually should do this more often because it like gets me out of it. Like I can ask a messy question and I'm not at fault. Okay. So you had beef with him. Where's that at now? Have you guys spoken?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it beef. I've never met Colton. He inserted himself in an issue that I had with someone else in Bachelor Nation. My thought is he did it because I don't know, for attention, for likes. Yes. I'm easy bait. Like I'm easy. People are like, Rachel's always speaking out. So it's like the low hanging fruit to criticize me, you know, try harder. And so
that's bullshit, by the way.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And so I just responded and said, listen, if you want to have a conversation, I'm not going to do it in the comment section of an Instagram post. Come on my podcast and let's do this the right way. And he never did. So we weren't friends before. We aren't friends now. We'll never be friends. There's really not an interest there for me. And I'm sure he would say the same thing. So there's no beef. It's a whole lot of nothing.
What an asshole. I don't like him. I don't even know this. I think I actually know Colton. Was he that? Was he one of
the? Because he was the virgin bachelor.
Come on. I do remember that. That was annoying too. That whole thing. It was like so much fucking press about him being a virgin. And it's like, I don't know.
Just, you have to realize how you brand yourself is how you're going to be known. I mean, that will forever be with him. And that's hard to break the mold. It's hard to go from reality TV into something else. It's like porn, right? You don't see porn stars doing regular things. It's hard.
I know. You know, wait, this is neither here nor there, but there were some porn stars that I just unfollowed on Twitter, some gay porn stars, because they were like giving like very troublesome political opinions. And I was like, why am I following porn stars for their opinions on politics? It was just not something I should do. Okay, so this one, you and Becca Kufrin, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Becca, you guys got deep into her relationship with Garrett on your podcast. Where are things at now with them? What are your feelings on Garrett?
So we had to give you a little background. We had a podcast about diversity and what was going on in the country, and her fiance posted a Blue Lives Matter picture, and with his whole chest gave this like long explanation as to why he felt that way. So I got on the podcast saying it was problematic, what it meant to me. We both got emotional. I was just like, I'm tired that everybody woke up in 2020 and realized that racism fucking exists. Like what it's been happening. And it was great for us in our friendship. Becca and I have a friendship. So I will refrain from talking about her relationship out of respect for her. Sure. But I think he's a piece of shit.
Sure.
Yeah. And I've said to her, I will not fuck with him. He has doubled down on his beliefs. This isn't the first time he's had problematic behavior. When he was on the season, he had a history of liking things that were racist, sexist, homophobic, calling the Parkland students, child actors. I mean, it was a lot. So this is who this man is. And he's a piece of shit to me.
You know, one of the things that's been interesting
about make headlines. Maybe I am causing.
Is it going to? Good for the show.
Lauren knows exactly what she's doing.
They'll write about it and they'll be like, the host didn't seem to know what she was saying. One of the things about reality TV though that I found so interesting about this whole time that we're living in, it's like they're starting to kind of fire people or let people go from these shows. And it's like, well, first of all, it really took that for you guys to do it. And second of all, it's like, did no one vet these people? Like no one couldn't even do like certain basic Twitter searches. Like, I mean, on Vanderpump Rules, it was like these two of the new hires from this previous season, they had tweeted all this stuff. And it was the most basic of like, if you were casting, just do like a quick sweep. Like there shouldn't be just, and then you would say, oh, we shouldn't cast this person. They're, you know, troublesome.
Yeah. Well, they casted a racist on my season of The Bachelorette. So,
I mean, but do you, you know, yeah. Do you think they were just, they were doing that to kind of make
I
a show?
I believe that. It was an old account that had been deleted. And of course the Redditors found it. I like to believe that maybe they didn't know, but the fact that they made it a storyline, that's a problem.
Redditors find everything. Redditors will dig up anything and they will find it all. So if they will find it all. Okay. So Claire Crawley, her cast was just revealed. What do you think of the lineup?
Haven't looked at any of them. Yeah. I couldn't tell you one name. Here's the thing, Danny. I have a podcast. I'm in Bachelor Nation. It worked for me. Yeah. But you have to remember, I didn't watch the show before I was on it.
You don't give
so
a fuck.
So I'm a fan by default because I'm in this thing, not because I'm like, oh my gosh, they announced, you know, I'll deal with them when they pop up on the screen. Don't need to know it.
Yeah, you don't need to deal with it. You mentioned your podcast again. Has there been anything so far that you haven't wanted to talk about, like you and Van discuss and say, you know what, I don't want to go there or something like that?
No, we pretty much tackle everything from current affairs to politics to nothing is off limits, whether it's trending on Twitter, whether it's Van has a lot of relationships with people in Hollywood from his years at TMZ. I don't. So it's funny to see the dynamic where I'm like, just giving it all, do not care. And he's like, well, you know, maybe. I'm like, no, forget them. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't care. They shouldn't have done what they did then. That's what we're here to talk about.
Okay, Rachel, I do have some other questions from the Patreon page.
Okay.
Eden wants to know if you have any suggestions on how to discover your passions career-wise. She says you seemingly done conquered it all and you seem very sure of your choices.
That's really nice. Eden
know,
says
that's a sweet question. No, I wish it was Eden says soon. Oh my God. I remember when Eden had that flip out moment at the end of her season where she's like, I gave you my time, my heart, my energy, you bitch. It was just like she came, all of a sudden it was like a new human being on the screen. It was like, oh, she's, and I always love, that's one of my favorite things about Bravo is like when they're trying to secure that second season and it's like a last ditch effort. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's mm-hmm. nothing better. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yes, yes. No, totally get it. Sorry, I had to make the Bravo reference. You understand.
I get it.
What was the question? The passion?
Oh, yeah. How do you, I know. Do you have any suggestions on how to discover your passions career-wise?
Got it. So for me, I can only speak from my own example. I feel like I was always living the life that somebody else wanted me to live rather than living my own life. I was a good little girl. I did well in school. I went to law school because my dad wanted me to. I wanted to, but I started to change a bit in high school. And then I just started doing everything that I felt like pleased my parents, more so my dad, and follow in his footsteps. And then I woke up one day and I was 30 and I thought, this is my life. I'm the one who has to live it and be happy with it. What do I want to do? What am I passionate about? And I had gotten really complacent in life. And so I went back and tapped into the time where I was the happiest and what was it that I was doing. And so I've always loved to speak out and have an opinion. I've always been passionate about sports, entertainment, pop culture. And so once I finished The Bachelorette, I just fueled my energy into that. And I said, I'm going to go all in and see if this works. And if it doesn't, then I'll go back to law. So I would say the answer for her is really sit back, be present, and think of what makes you happy and what it is that you're passionate about. You, not for anybody else. If you didn't have anyone else's opinion telling you what to do, what would you do?
Yeah, that's such great advice. And I always find sometimes people reach out to me, like they're wanting to start a podcast or something in the podcasting world, and people ask about it. And I always say, just like, do you, don't try to do what somebody else's show is. Like, just do whatever your thing is and follow. I sound so cheesy. Follow your heart.
But it's follow your heart, your gut.
Your gut.
Man, your gut never leads you astray.
It
never does.
Milda wants to know, Milda, I've never heard that name before, but yeah. I love it. Were you guys offered a televised special to do your wedding?
No, we weren't. And originally I was upset about that. And then I started hearing horror stories of how involved they are and it's not your wedding, that I'm so glad we did it our way. We had the family and friends we wanted. We were in control of it and it was a beautiful day. Once I got out of the bubble, I was like, I don't want y'all involved. Not on my day.
I heard it's really frustrating because they don't let you play the music you want, which at a reception, the music is the most important thing, or they at least have to like turn it off for certain points as they're filming things. And
can
like, no, to me, it's like, that's not worth it at all.
I heard you walk down the aisle and they're like, okay, wait, stop. Okay. You sit over here. You sit over here. Okay. Okay. Now go. No. I gave 2 seasons of my life to The Bachelor. Yeah.
Did you ever watch The Hills back in the day?
Yes.
Do you remember that wedding? That's what's popping in my head when Kristen came back and like she sat across from Elsie and it was like so obviously like staged by production, but it was a beautiful moment, but it was like so clearly staged.
But whose wedding was that?
It was like Heidi and Spencer's, but I don't even think it was like their real wedding. I think it was like, I don't recall.
Right. And it was out with LC and then it was like the new chapter with Kristen. That was the whole symbolism of it. Yeah. Right.
Okay, Rachel, I know I'm keeping you so long. I just have a couple more questions. People want to know your workout and skincare routine. I'm always fascinated by people's skincare routine.
I mean, I used to be a person who would rubbing alcohol on my face and that was it. Rubbing alcohol and Vaseline.
Didn't
and
then that, it dry it out?
Yeah, it stopped working at 30. Right. I also started wearing makeup at 30. So now I use organic and natural products. I use this stuff called Eminence that I love. And I use a face wash with a scrub. And then I use witch hazel, old school. You know, I'm from the South country. Mm-hmm. Witch hazel on my face to tone it out. And then I use like a cleanser spray to brighten my skin. And then I use a serum that's vitamin C and E. This is all Eminence. And then I use moisturizer. And that's it.
Being on camera a lot, I feel like you have to always put so much on your face. And so I feel like actors or hosts or whoever is on camera a lot, it's like their skincare routine has to be aggressive.
I had to learn that because I was a person who fall asleep with makeup on. So, you know, I always wipe
been
it
there.
Off.
I've been there.
Away. Yeah.
I do have a little foundation on right now, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, my workout. I'm a Peloton freak. Now, I'm having a bit of a sciatic nerve issue, so I've stopped. But I love the Peloton. You can follow me at Big Rach Energy.
I'm going to follow you.
Rides. Do you Peloton, Danny?
I do. Well, I have it in like a month and a half or something because I've had some stomach stuff. But yes, I got one at sort of the beginning of the pandemic.
And me too.
It was like a godsend at the time. And I'm obsessed with Cody Rigsby. He's my favorite.
He reposted something I posted of him because, you know, he does his rides and I just thought I was just going to die. Yeah, no, I love Cody and I love Alex because I need somebody to be like, get your ass up off the seat, you know, because he's yells at me. He plays his club bangers. It's great.
I like the good music. And then I also like when they give me like little random bits of their life. Like Cody will just be like, yeah, I slept with a girl in college once. Then I realized I was gay. And then he'll like just go and like, or something, you know, like. Yeah.
My favorite thing Cody said was he was playing Hanson and he was like, girls used to love Hanson. I don't think any of them are cute. They're all ugly. I was like, well, okay. All right then, Cody.
I don't know if it was Cody or someone else, but they were like in the middle of an NSYNC song. Maybe it was Cody. In the middle of an NSYNC song, he's like, fuck Justin Timberlake. And I was like, this wouldn't happen on like another workout app. But on Peloton, I feel like they don't give a shit what the trainers say. And it makes it so much better. Like it's way better than going to class somewhere because they could just say whatever they want. Okay, I ask everyone this question. What's your favorite Mariah Carey song?
So funny you asked me this. Okay, do you pay attention to the verses battle?
Yeah.
Do? So we were talking about this on our podcast and Van said, Mary J. Blige, no one could go up against her. I'm like, yeah, during her time period. And he said, no, it has to be Mariah Carey. And I was like, Mariah Carey has like 18, 19 number ones. She'd kill her. And he was like, no, absolutely not. So anyways, I'm a big Mariah Carey fan. I have to say, this is a tough question and nobody's ever asked me this before.
No, I saw Mary J. in concert on her last tour, and it was like literally a religious experience. Like there was one point where she was laying down on the stage, like flat, like in a coffin, you know, she was just singing with the microphone. And I've never seen anything like, there was so much passion. I love Mary J., but Mariah is my number one, but yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Always Be My Baby.
Classic.
I don't know why that's the one I'm picking. I guess like I just remember singing it and jamming it in my car. I feel like there is a breakup somewhere around that song. That's why it resonates with me so much. Right. Always Be My Baby. That's what I'm also, going with.
It reminds me of like summertime and it's so, yeah it's like a summertime. Okay, last question.
What's yours?
Mine is Forever. It's like a ballad from the Daydream album. Yeah. It's just, to me, like such a classically beautiful ballad. Of course, I love everything she's done. Everything. I love, Break Down the Roof. Like, those are up there for me.
Do you love Glitter?
I love Glitter. Yeah.
Okay.
I love Glitter. I truly think Glitter's, especially as an album, I think Glitter, the album, is like totally underrated. Like, Lead the Way. There's so many. I mean, there's a lot of.
I think the movie's underrated.
Yeah. I agree. Classic. You're speaking my language, Rachel. Finally, if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, you can't choose Brian.
Dang it.
Although I might do it, but.
Okay. Sexiest Man Alive. I mean, I would go with Idris Elba. Has he already been on it?
I think he was last year, but yeah, you can pick him again. He's gorgeous.
Definitely wouldn't have picked John Legend.
Was he? Yeah, he was the most.
He's the most recent one.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was mostly.
Plus, as music wise.
Right, right. No. I was recently very offended when they chose Blake Shelton. I thought that was when it really went downhill for me. It was just, I don't know who was making those decisions, but it was truly shocking. Shocking.
It's a PR thing. I got to go with Idris.
Yeah, he's great.
That's definitely my choice.
Rachel, this was so fun. Tell everyone about Higher Learning, the Bachelor podcast, anything you want to promote.
I'm having a blast. I feel like I've been talking to you in my apartment already, so it's nice to actually do it in person. Oh, and that seems so crazy. I love this. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for coming.
My podcast. Yes. Bachelor Happy Hour comes out every Tuesday. It's with me and Becca Kufrin. It's just good girl time, girl power. Obviously we talk all things Bachelor too. And then Higher Learning comes out Tuesdays and Fridays. My co-host Van Lathan and I, we have a brother-sister relationship. We go at it. We give each other a lot of mess, and we cover everything from politics, sports, current events, entertainment, and it's a lot of fun. So check it out.
I also got to say, I was listening to the most recent episode, or maybe it was a couple back, but he was throwing you a curveball. You guys were in the middle of talking about something, and he's like, do you support slavery? And it like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Pause. Yes.
Rachel, I was laughing so hard because it was just such a funny... I just, not of course slavery part, but it was like such a funny thing to do to someone you're chatting with to just throw a it made me laugh for like a solid 5 minutes.
In there? Did they keep the, I just stopped.
Yeah. You were like, I mean, there was like a little pot. You could tell you were just so thrown off guard. And as a listener, it was such a fun experience because you're like, oh, okay, now this show, they're going to keep me on my toes as I'm listening. And so, you know, aside from the content. It's
fairly new, but we enjoy it. And we've been working on it before the whole movement, but it's just very relevant to what's going on right now. And I love the feedback we're getting. And a lot of people say they learn a lot from it. And we have fun doing it.
And you probably get so many people that are obsessed with The Bachelor coming over to listen. And then it's great hearing about other topics. Yeah.
Because Dan hates The Bachelor. So it's even better.
I always say I'm going to dig in. People always ask me though, they're like, will you do a Bachelor episode? And I'm like, I spend so many hours with Bravo that it's, and the Bachelor franchise is so many hours. I'm like, I just don't know if I have the capacity to be watching like Below Deck Med and The Bachelor.
No. You know, maybe Matt James, first Black Bachelor.
I might watch that.
Yeah.
You know, this makes me so basic, but I do know Matt from Tyler and Matt's like Instagrams.
Popular. We should have Tyler on.
I know. I find him very attractive. Is he bland? I feel like he's
the sweetest person. I got a lot of criticism for something the other day and he called me just to like say, keep your head up. I thought that was awesome what you did. So nice. I think that's what's hard for people to accept because he's very attractive, but then he's really genuinely a nice person. And they're like, no, something doesn't add up. No, he's really
that nice. Makes me so happy because I followed him for years and he's so beautiful to look at. I love when he takes off the blouse. Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. This was so fun. Please come back anytime and we'll do like a full recap of Housewives or of an episode or something. Stay safe and thank you. Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at the Rach Lindsay on everything, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Rich, tell Brian I said hello.
I will. I should have just walked there without a shirt on.
Yeah, tell me, take off that blouse and come right on over. I want to tell everyone to please subscribe, comment, like on the YouTube if you're watching this on YouTube. And I want to thank everyone for listening to Everything Iconic. I love you all. Stay safe. And bye, Rachel.
Bye, Danny. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
The two-strap, there's no turn.